Hi. Is that for Nicola?
Sorry, I do apologise. Yes. I don't know why I keep saying Nicola. I'm so sorry. Calling back from MMA Legal. I do apologise. I think it's my headset. For some reason, over the past 24 hours, yesterday it was playing up as well. I'm so sorry. So if it does start to be a bit of a path, just let me know and I'll get it rechanged. I do apologise.
No problem.
As I was saying to you earlier, what we require from yourself is a beneficiary. So I hope and I understand that you are a healthy person and nothing will be happening to you over the next few months. But if anything was to happen to you with this claim ongoing, have you got anybody within your circle or family or friends that you would be happy for us to release this payment to so they would take it on your behalf? We just need to be able to be motivated.
Well, yeah, I have a daughter who's 22.
Can I take her name, please, darling?
Robin Blades.
Is it Robin spelled R-O-B-Y-N or is it I-N?
Yeah.
Y-N, Robin Blades, no problem. And do you know her mobile number? If not, I can take it at a later date, so don't worry.
I do.
Whenever you're ready, I'll take that from you.
Settings to get sharp. Her number is... Oh, God. Zero seven.
Yeah.
572.
Yeah.
366.
Yeah.
958.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. Now, if I am correct, you said you was around, I think you said you were 13, 14 when you was taken into the care system first of all. So.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am correct, it's around 1999.
Something like that, yeah.
No problem. It doesn't need to be exact dates, just so we've got a rough estimate, just so we know where to start building the case from. And can I ask you, what was the first place called where you were sent to, darling?
Cecil Street Children's Home.
Could you spell that for me the best way you can, please?
A-E-C-I-L Street.
A-E-C-I-L Street.
C.
Oh, B. Oh.
C. Sorry. C-E-C-I-L. Cecil.
Oh. Okay, right. Perfect. So I've had stories about this place before. Can I ask you just to confirm the area for me, please?
Coatbridge.
And this was the first place you were sent to, if I am correct. Is that correct?
Yes.
She was 13, 14 years old when she was placed here. And can I ask you, on arrival, what was your first thoughts and what was your first memories?
My first memory, I was locked in a laundry. For several hours and... and I know this because I've had conversations with a staff member since then. She was told to do that by my social worker at the time because they felt that I shouldn't be there. I should be home. Sorry, I'm really struggling to hear you again.
I'm sorry, I apologise. Sorry about that. I think it's my colleague is on a call behind me. I do apologise.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just, I've just tried to move your position. I'm sorry about that. Let me get that here. And you said that your social worker had told her to do this at the time and they felt like you should have been at home.
Yeah.
Being at home. Yes. Unfortunately, I'm sorry that that actually happened to you. Did anyone come and check on you while you was left in there or left in there at all?
No, they just left.
So there was no empathy or anything?
Mm-mm.
And how long was you in here for?
Just a few days.
A few days. And while she was here, darling, did they make any nasty comments to you, or did you feel like you were just left alone and secluded throughout the time there? Was there any sort of comfort or understanding of what was going on?
Just left on my own. I was told that I was just being a spoiled brat because, like, my mum used to beat the living daylights out of me and I didn't want to be there anymore. And I was told that I would be better off at home, that I would probably be raped, sexually assaulted, that my belongings would just be from me and there was nothing that they could do about it.
I'm so sorry to hear that. You've obviously been failed. There was no...
No, they were told to make it as hard as possible for me so that I would return home. Because I went to a children's panel and my parents were there and they asked me which parent I would prefer to live with and I said neither of them because my mum wasn't very nice to me and my dad doesn't care. My dad was more interested in himself. He used to leave me at home with my grandmother. So I was my grandmother's carer who had dementia since I was 12 and there was my gran and my uncle. My uncle had Down syndrome and I was their carer and then they went into care. So did I basically.
So sorry to hear that. It's like, it's even like you tried to cry out for help and they've even put you in here and you feel like you're getting some sort of help but they're just trying to push you to go back. There was no help. No. Trying to push you to go back home really, wasn't they?
Mm-hmm. Although I think we still think twice.
Obviously affected you mentally and physically here.
Yeah, I mean, I took an overdose of paracetamol and then just went to school as if nothing had happened and I got arrested from school. I got handcuffed. I got arrested and taken to the hospital.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm very, very sorry and I can reassure you that I know no money will take away what you've had to deal with in any way, shape or form. But I can reassure you I'll do my very best to make sure we get you the justice that you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I'm going to do for you, after you were positioned within that place for a few days, darling, and then you said that you got moved on, did they actually try to take you home from here or did you actually
They took me to another children's home at an Airdrie called Torrens Avenue.
Let me just get this on here for you. I'm just getting this typed up for you as we speak, just so I can make sure that I've got everything down here for you. I just want to make sure, because with all the information you're providing me, it's very helpful, and I do appreciate that, just because in regards to this, this is the most hardest part of the call, is asking you to do this topic of conversation with me.
Yeah.
But once it's done, I will reassure you we'll do our very best to go here and do our very best to get you this sort of case. Now, what we will give you, have you ever actually got your files or have you read your files at all or had a copy of them?
I did. I don't know where they are, though.
Don't worry, that's perfectly fine. We always require a copy anyway.
A lot of them were destroyed and a lot of them were redacted to within an inch of life, so it wasn't really worth the paper.
What they will tell you is that your documents have been destroyed or they can't provide them back to you due to third-party companies and things like that being involved on them documents. Now, what we can reassure you on is once we locate them documents and we have full authorisation to do so from yourself, we'll approach all the local authorities. What we'll do from here as well is we will approach all the local authorities. We will require everything from them. And once we have that and we've done our job for yourself from that point onwards, we will then go ahead and provide you a copy of them back if that is something that you would like. So, and can I ask you, did you make any friends within the first few days that you were at the first care home, or did they try to obstructing the motor bridge, you just get left?
I was on a warrant, so I wasn't allowed to leave the premises on my own. I had to be accompanied by a staff member at all times.
And while she was here showering and things like that, did the staff ever assist you to the showers or anything?
No.
Was food always an option in this place and things like that?
Well, the
And did you feel like
locked?
If you wasn't happy with the food that they provided, do you feel like they gave you an option for more food, or was it the place that you wouldn't really eat that day?
No.
Now, what I'm going to do for you, I'm just going to ask you, from this obviously just speaking to yourself, I understand here that your first memories from being into the care system, of course, I do feel like you was impacted a lot, and I do feel like that would have taken a big impact on your mental health, because of course I feel like you've been failed, but you have cried out for help in various different ways as well. Can I ask you, how was you left feeling after Cecil Street?
I became a self-harmer.
Okay. And you said that you got moved on. Could I ask you to name the second place where you were positioned against anything?
Torrance Avenue.
Is that a Quarrance Avenue?
Torrance, Torrance.
Torrance Avenue. And was this like a foster family?
No, it's another child. It's a different children's home.
Children's home, not a problem. And what area was this in, darling?
Airdrie.
Mm-hmm. So they kept you quite close to home as well, didn't they, considering, of course, that you was afraid of your being at home with your family and things like that.
Yeah.
And I was sent straight here from the previous place. And I can imagine that you was already worried and upset.
Yeah. And then I encountered the manager, who is the sister of a well-known Glasgow MP, and she was horrible.
Sister of the Glasgow MP. Yes. And was she the manager of the place where you were living at this time?
To start with, yeah, she was the sister of Tommy Sheridan.
Was sister of Thomas Sheridan, was that?
Yep. Who's an MP.
Thank you so much for this name, because that will help your case a lot.
Her name was Lynn Sheridan.
Sheridan. Can I ask you to give me some memories from this place, darling, and an understanding of what you've had to deal with within him?
I had no social worker for 2 years. My social worker, I had an altercation with my social worker. I was given a new social worker. She went off sick, and I had no social worker for 2 years. So there was nothing to move forward because...
And there was no help for you whatsoever?
No. One incident that sticks out, I woke up one morning and a staff member who just didn't like me had me arrested for nothing and strip searched at 15.
Very embarrassing.
I was continually told that there was no need for me to be there. That I was just a spoiled brat. But the reason I left my mother's house was that I turned up to school with two black eyes and a burst mouth, and they thought that my mum had broken my nose. And that was one of the reasons that I went out.
And you should be getting, if a child doesn't want to be at home, it's not for any reason. A home is where they should feel comfort and love and obviously feel safe. And of course, you've not felt that, and that's the reason why you've asked for help. And they can't tell you that you're not.
No.
Can I ask you, here, did they always provide you food here?
Again, the kitchen was locked. So it was just whatever they provided. Then we didn't have a cook for a long time. And it was just continual takeaways every day. For months and months and months, we just had takeaway upon takeaway upon takeaway, which isn't good. There was no fruit, no veg, no balance in the diet, just continual takeaways, pizzas, kebabs.
Did they provide you with drugs or alcohol in here?
One of the staff members allowed us to drink alcohol, and he took us on holiday to a cottage. And me and one of the girls who lived there, who I'm still quite friends with her actually, they allowed us to take bottles of vodka with us. That man has, I mean, I'm not saying that he did anything to me, but he has recently been at court. It was found not proven for a relationship with a young girl. An inappropriate relationship with a young girl. And he was allowing us to drink vodka, and he was allowing us to drive the minibus.
I'm sorry to hear that you were allowed to do all this and they was actually putting you in these situations. Can I ask you, did any of the staff ever hit you or prod at you or push you around or anything like that?
Yeah, that was quite common. Especially with the male staff. And then I fell pregnant with my daughter when I was 16.
Can I ask you, the staff obviously hitting me, would they use belts or anything like that? Would it be the hands?
Hands, but it would be like punches, or they would grab you and push your arms up your back and push you against the wall and stuff like that. Or they restrained me one time, and they restrained me, which was not allowed. They restrained me on top of my bed, and then they lifted me off the bed and they just dropped me onto the floor.
It's like you had no way out because you couldn't go home because you were dealing with this at home. You were dealing with this within the car home. So it's like you just didn't really get it.
They would encourage, I don't know how to explain this. It's like when you get into places like this, there's one person, like one young person who kind of is like, top dog. They would make sure that person would get all the other children in line, like they threatened you with other
children.
And they used to do that when I was older. They used to do that to me. They used to do like that to the other children in there, like you better not wake her up, or you better not, because she'll get up and she'll go off her head. And they would encourage it. When I was pregnant with my daughter.
Was you pregnant in this car home?
Yeah.
Sorry. And again, was that with somebody within this time?
No. It wasn't somebody with a stay home, but I was pregnant, And then when I had my daughter, the day after I gave birth, the manager came into the hospital to visit me. And she told me that I had nowhere to live and I couldn't return with the baby, even though it had been allowed for other people to return with the babies. I wasn't allowed to return my baby, so I was effectively homeless at 17 with a newborn. I had a flat, but the flat wasn't ready to live in. I was told that my social worker was on holiday and there was nothing they could do about it, and I wasn't allowed to return to the unit. They kept me in hospital for 5 days and to be in, and then I had to go in back and live with my dad. And the night that I brought my daughter home from the hospital, my dad came home. He'd been out and came home and he was so drunk that he nearly fell on top of my crib.
I'm so sorry that you have had to deal with that. And again, like I say, you've been failed from everybody within the situation. Nobody's given you a sort of guidance or when you needed it the most while she was pregnant. And of course, she's starting your own life. Somebody should have actually guided you and helped you and helped you move on with your life. And of course, they've not done that. Now, I understand that you definitely... Sorry.
I was put out and nobody cared. And then my daughter was maybe about a year old. I got a phone call from one of the night shifts to say that if you're doing a SCQ, and could you use that story as part of the SCQ, because they were all disgusted at what had happened, but nobody said anything.
And again, they want to use your story, but they don't want to help you or offer you any sort of support or anything like that throughout this. It's not acceptable whatsoever.
Once I was out with my daughter, that was it. Nobody contacted me again. Nobody checked up on me. I was just put out and that was it.
I'm here for you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just get that on here. And like I say, just speaking to you, I understand, like, obviously, you are a nice person to have a conversation with, and you are easy to chat to. And I am very sorry that I've had to make you go back to this time of your life. But like I say, it is to make sure that we get you the justice you deserve. What I'm going to do for you is get that on there. But can I just ask you, even until this day, do you suffer with, like, say, things like PTSD and things like that? Do you suffer with building relationships with people, trusting people? Do you worry about your anxiety? Can I ask you to have an understanding how you feel now?
I've been on antidepressants on and off since I was 14. Self-harming repeatedly. The staff have started watching me. Cutting myself. And I would just be constantly told that I was an attention seeker. I really struggled. I still really, really struggle with anxiety. Even though my kids are adults and I've my own job and my own house, I still really struggle.
Of course, and you say, it's things that people aren't actually, it's something that's been at the back of your mind for so long, and like I say, you've not been able to talk to anybody about it because you've constantly been failed throughout of your whole life. You've got nobody that you're going to turn to and explain this to, because like you say, you've kept it in and that's all that you've known to do. And now I have opened a can of worms. Like I say, you have got me there at all times, and you understand that if there's anything that you do need from me, or even just a quick chat, like I say, just do not hesitate to bob me a message over. As soon as I've got 2 minutes, I will give you a call, and then we'll take it from there. And even if it's just me putting your mind at ease. But what I want to reassure you on is you coming forward today is most important to helping yourself.
What I really struggle with all is I kept saying I was just a spoiled brat. But what they don't realise is when I was 7 years old, I was sexually assaulted by 3 people at the same time. And my mother doesn't do anything. My parents didn't do... That is when my relationship with my parents broke down.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I don't understand why.
My dad to this day still thinks I'm absolutely disgusting. I did read my files from the child and family clinic, and my mum said that she couldn't look at me the same anymore, she didn't like me, and I was only 7, and nobody stepped in then, and I was taken to one appointment, and I was never taken back for any kind of help.
And I'm so sorry.
Continue to just act as if, I mean, the person, one of the people who did it, because there was three people, one of the people who did it, my mum continued afterwards to run his mum to work, because they worked in the same place. And I would have to get in the cab with this woman every morning, knowing.
That is not, I'm so, so sorry. And like I say, you've not had anybody there to guide you throughout this, or anybody where you feel safe enough to go and ask them for some help in it. And it is horrible that you have had to deal with that. I am so sorry.
And it is,
I can imagine, and I understand it has been a very hard time of your life to actually deal with this and bottle this up.
I mean, and I've tried and tried and tried to get, like, therapy and stuff, and nobody helps, and it's led me on to have terrible, terrible relationships. My last relationship was awful. I found out my partner was a paedophile.
I'm so sorry about that.
And again, the police done nothing about it. And it was so weird because I ended up homeless again at that point. This was only 7 years ago. And they put me into one of the boys who assaulted me. It went full circle. I ended up actually living in his old flat because it was made into a temporary accommodation to the council, and I ended up having to live on that street after all of that had happened to my ex-partner, back in the same street where I was sexually abused.
I feel like, and as much as it's hard for me to say this, like I say, you've been failed from every person that's been involved in your life. And like I said, you still come out the other side of it, so you should be very, very proud of yourself because you've got happy, healthy children.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, you are still here till this day, so you should be proud of yourself that you have dealt with all of that. And like I say, no money will take away what you have dealt with whatsoever. Money is the thing that we can get in regards to justice. We will make sure we do our very best to get you the maximum amount, so that way you can then go ahead and enjoy your life and do something to make sure that you are having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I've just done for you, Dad, is I just popped you a message over on WhatsApp and asked you for a picture of your ID and proof of address. Would you just see if that's come through for me? And do you have anything like a driver's license or a passport or a provisional or anything along those lines?
I don't.
Do you have a bus pass?
No. The only thing I've got is an old work ID.
Right, okay. Could you take a picture? Is that the only thing you've got with picture ID on it?
Yeah.
Right. Would you go and take a picture of that for me and make sure I can see all four corners? And would you also be able to take a picture? Because it's not actually a regulated actual ID. What I'm going to have to do for you is, would you be able to take a picture of two letters for me? Actually, three, I need three letters, and you would just need to be registered and dated to you in the last 3 months. Anywhere, we just need to know it's got your name, address, and the date on there. Now, whilst you're doing that, I'm just going to bob you a message over. I'm sorry, I'm going to get your documents sent over to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's done. I'll get your case submitted off for you today. I'll get it submitted off right away this morning.
I can find one of them.
We can do screenshots. If you've got three different bank statements, we can accept that as well.
That's true. We can do that.
We do this. You do that, and I'm going to get this for a bit before you change. You've got your beneficiary on there. Thank you.
if anything, just screenshot and use.
Yeah, take your time, do not worry. Just wondering why it's not letting you get your documents over to you. I'm also going to set a password on the account for you. Just so whilst your claim's ongoing, you might get the odd call here and there where they'll say, we can pay you £1,000 up front or £10,000 for an example. You may get tricked into accepting an upfront settlement figure just because, of course, that's, they're going to try and underpay. Now, just to be on the safe side, if that does happen to you, I'm just going to set a password on the account for you. So if anyone does call you and you are unsure on who you're speaking to or they're asking you for any information regarding your case, you just ask them for the password. And if they don't know the password, just do not speak to them. Hang up the phone on them. Now, what word would be memorable to you that I could use as a password for you? What would be the best word that's memorable?
Harlow.
Is it Harlow? Yeah. Okay, perfect. Password. Harlow. And if anyone calls you, you know, you just say Pat's name, perfect. Brilliant. So we've got Pat's name, password is Harlow, perfect. So everyone will confirm Harlow to you. And if they don't, just say, what's my password? And if they can't say the word Harlow, hang up the phone on them. Now, the statements that you screenshot, I have sent you a message over on WhatsApp. So if you could send them over to me on WhatsApp, that would be fantastic. Brilliant. Let me just track this for you and make sure it is the correct dates on there. So this one's the 27th of January. This one is the 30th of January. And this one is the 26th. Perfect. That's amazing. Thank you so much for that. That's brilliant. Now, you've also just been sent a text message, darling. Now, this is basically just stating everything that I've already confirmed to you. Also, the statements that we've discussed today are on there as well. Now, we can't take it any further without you stating that you're happy for us to do so. So could you please click on that link for me? And it should take you to a box that will say signature. Now, it probably won't look like your signature because it never does, but if you can give it a squiggle the best way you can with your finger in the box and press execute documents for me, that would be fantastic.
Yes, that's done.
Let me see if that's come back for it, darling. Brilliant. That's everything on behalf of yourself. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to submit your case off to the solicitor directly, and the solicitor will be taking the cases straight into stages 1 and 3, where they'll approach all of the local authorities. They'll get as much evidence and as much information as they possibly can from the department. And as soon as we've got your next stages of the updates, I will give you a call most definitely. But in between that, if there's anything you need from me, or even if you want a conversation, or if there's anything that you forgot to mention that you want me to include for you, pop me a message over and I'll give you a call straight back and we'll take it from there, darling. Okay. Thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
And I do... All right, darling, no problem. We'll go and get that justice you deserve, all right?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Cheers. See you later. Bye-bye.